broken. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth choice to sit it out or dance. I hope you dance.
Time is a real and constant motion. Always golden. Oh, so long.
I hope
tell
you
me
dance.
Who wants to look back on their years and wonder
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At Dover Air Base, families of the three fallen soldiers killed in the drone strike have met with President Biden and the First Lady privately ahead of the dignified transfer.
Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General C.Q. Brown, will also attend. This is a solemn event. No remarks by the president as the bodies of the service members return to the U.S. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
The U.S. blames an Iranian-backed militant group in Iraq for the deadly drone strike that killed the service members and is planning what the White House calls a multi-targeted response. The president touted last month's jobs reports, 353,000 jobs added in January. That was nearly double what analysts projected. In Pennsylvania, Punxsutawney Phil is projecting an early spring. That after the famous groundhog failed to see his shadow this morning during a ceremony at Gobbler's Knob in Pennsylvania. But with extreme weather this season, many are skeptical. This is ABC News. World Wrestling Entertainment founder Vince McMahon now under federal investigation.
Sources familiar with the matter tell ABC News the billionaire received a grand jury subpoena sometime over the summer. McMahon resigned from the board of WWE's parent company after a former employee filed a graphic lawsuit accusing McMahon of psychological torture and physical violence. McMahon's attorney and WWE did not respond to ABC's request for comment. Brian Clark, ABC News.
New details today about the Bucks County, Pennsylvania man charged with a grisly murder. Justin Moan of Levittown posting a YouTube video holding his father's decapitated head, ordering, quote, militia and patriots across the country to kill federal workers. Bucks County District Attorney Jennifer Shorn.
The defendant stated he went to Fort Indiantown Gap in an effort to mobilize the PA National Guard to raise arms against the federal government.
I'm Michelle Franzen. ABC News.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
So sticky. At Hannah's Organic Honey, business may be sweet, but they need an e-commerce queen bee to lead the hive.
Okay, these jars are going to Jakarta. Oh, wait a minute. Does that say Jackson?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Schedule virtual interviews and talk to candidates right from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Ayland. I'm Raymond Newpert. As Milwaukee continues efforts to slow down reckless drivers, there's acknowledgement that some motorists are not happy. Alderman Bob Bauman spoke this week at the site of a major traffic calming project.
Does that delay people's trip? Maybe a little bit, but it also puts everybody driving at 15, 20, 25 miles an hour. Nobody's going to get killed. Nobody's going to be T-boned.
The city plans to construct 45 of those projects this year as part of an ongoing engineering effort to slow drivers and keep pedestrians and bicyclists safe. A lawsuit that sought to challenge the DNR's authority to regulate large livestock factory farms has been rejected by a Calumet County judge. Judge Kerry Reed this week rejected the claims of industry groups, which said that the DNR was not able to regulate them. This is Wisconsin Farmers Union Executive Director Julie Keown-Bomar.
We believe that large livestock operations need to be held responsible, and they need to be permitted, and that we need to uphold environmental standards. And so really, this is a win for our members.
The Farmers Union has long opposed those factory farms, also known as concentrated animal feeding operations. Bomar says they had to oppose the lawsuit or risk having no regulatory authority monitoring large farm operations. Governor Evers has signed bipartisan bills into law which would increase access to dental care and grow Wisconsin's workforce in the dental health field. He says that's important as any other health care.
It's just an important piece. Mental health is an important piece. Other health is, health programs are so important to make sure that people have a good life and are able to thrive here in Wisconsin.
Most of the state is designated as a dental health professional shortage area. The package would create $20 million in new state aid for the technical college system to train new dental hygienists. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
The clouds stick around today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. We'll have temperatures near 40, east winds at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows upper 20s. Tomorrow, partly sunny in the morning, then clearing, highs mid-40s. And for Sunday, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 40s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas Boys High School basketball tonight. The Panthers host Plum City Elmwood. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7, tip-off at 7:15 here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Live! Don't forget your flip-flops because it's warm out there. What is this, Winnipeg? Not hardly. Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all with Sean Haney.
Again.
Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheck from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. It is my understanding that Punxsutawney Phil, the rodent out in Philadelphia, out in Pennsylvania, did not see its shadow this morning.
That's what now, I saw, too. Yep.
That means early spring, right?
Somewhere. I think this puts us right around March 21st, somewhere in there.
March 21st. See,
sure
there you go, bringing day. Logic back into the conversation.
I'm just saying spring is right around the corner, people.
I'm just saying it kind of feels like spring is here.
Maybe it is. Well, I don't know.
You know, man, oh, man. What are we headed for? We're headed for another high close to 50 degrees up in northeast Iowa, and it's going to be around all next week, dude.
Yeah. I mean, this. We heard from Brett Waltz. Well, yeah, we could get to the middle of February and it's still warm. Yeah. We could even get to the end of February and it's still warm. Well, it's pretty warm on the second, if you ask me.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Welcome to AgriTalk. I am Chip. That is Davis. Happy Groundhog Day, if that's something that you like to celebrate. Do people celebrate it?
I like to celebrate it, yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're looking for something, you might. It's as good as any reason, isn't it?
Do they know it's Groundhog Day? There should be a song about all the children of the world on Groundhog Day, shouldn't there?
Maybe there should be. Jobs report was wow.
Saw that.
We'll get to the details there. We've got Haney coming up. Haney's down in Orlando. We'll get a report from the cattle convention. And Sean Haney, it's we got a full show coming your way here, guys. Just stay tuned. All right, let's get to the news.
Well, Chip, we'll begin with the National Weather Service weather outlook. We're unsettled weather for the West Friday as heavy snow continues for the Sierras and spreads into the Great Basin and Rockies. Widespread thunderstorms shift from the Southern Plains today to the lower Mississippi Valley and Gulf Coast on Saturday, with a threat for severe weather and flash flooding. Mild, well above average temperatures persist across the central portions of the country through this weekend, Chip. That's me and you, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. And the West Coast just has gotten pounded. They're going to get another foot of rain in the next 36 hours. This is weather that happens rarely. It's the Pineapple Express with all that moisture coming out of the Pacific and just smoking the West Coast. And, boy, you better be ready for it, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, Chip, in January, the U.S. added 353,000 jobs, surpassing economists' expectations. The result is an unchanged unemployment rate of 3.7%. This is the 24th consecutive month the nation's jobless rate has been below 4%. Most industries added jobs last month, with healthcare and social assistance posting the largest gains. Average hourly pay also rose sharply, climbing 19 cents to $34.55, pushing up the yearly increase from 4.5% to 4.5% from 4.1%. Since spring of last year, pay increases have outpaced still high inflation, giving consumers more purchasing power, Chip.
Yeah, the only negative number that I saw in the report, well, I shouldn't say the only negative number in there. I didn't look at every number, but one of the not so supportive numbers was the average hourly work week. It had been bouncing around between 34.3 to 34.4, dropped to 34.1. So, yeah, there's some more money in there, but some are working fewer hours and may be taking home less.
Well, Chip, President Biden has ordered retaliation for an attack on a U.S. base in Jordan that resulted in the deaths of U.S. troops. This response involves significant strikes against Iranian-controlled facilities in Iraq and Syria. The operation is set to commence in the coming days and will unfold gradually, combining military actions with other measures aimed at indicating that the U.S. is not seeking further escalation. Nothing like it, a counterattack that says, we're not seeking further escalation, Chip.
Yeah, exactly. And here in the States, if you see something that unsettles you, say something.
Mm-hmm. Amazon easily topped Wall Street estimates for earnings and revenue as cost-cutting boosted profits. Meta also surpassed expectations on all major metrics, and Chip announced its first-ever dividend payment. Apple was also in the spotlight as concerns about the company's presence in China outweighed the end of four straight quarterly sales declines. Cargo diversions in the Red Sea persist due to ongoing attacks on commercial shipping vessels, which also affect ag commodity shipments. According to Reuters, 12 vessels were diverted this week, carrying approximately 700,000 metric tons of grain. Chip, since December, a total of 4.5 million metric tons of grain cargo has avoided the Red Sea due to security concerns. Americans can expect a decrease in meat prices thanks to the emerging renewable fuel industry, according to Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. The process of producing plant-based jet fuel and diesel from soybeans generates a surplus of soy meal? Question mark. As meatpackers can now feed their animals more affordably, they're likely to increase meat production, leading to lower prices for consumers at the grocery store. Chip, we'll talk about this later.
Dude, we have been talking about that for 2 years. Three,
right?
2.5 years. Wow. Okay. Welcome to the story, Bloomberg. Thank you, Davis. Appreciate that. Let's bring in Jennifer Shike, editor at Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
So you were at the Illinois Pork Expo. What did you learn?
Oh, I was. It was a really good event, and always have a good time there with the Illinois pork producers. There were so many topics that were discussed, but I really think it was interesting how their executive director, Jennifer Teary, decided to start things off. She played some Rocky music, and we kind of got into the concept of producers are feeling pretty beat up right now with all the things they've been going through. But she gave some really great encouragement about things that they're specifically doing in Illinois. But I do think these are things that we're seeing happening in other states as well, really focusing on capturing some retail wins last year and really looking forward with some new eyes on what we could do, not only in retail, but also taking a deeper look at food service, which is going to be a priority for the state of Illinois. With Chicago being in our state, we've got a lot of restaurants and food service opportunities sure. with a lot of purchasing power. So looking at ways to capitalize on that this year.
Yeah.
But she also talked about some new programs, things they're trying to do to get younger people interested in the swine industry. Maybe that's going to work in a barn, or maybe that's getting engaged somehow with an allied industry. So,
yeah. Yeah. You know, the number one thing on the demand side, always be building a new market, right? Always be
right.
building that new market. And it's good to hear that there is a focus on that next generation to bring into hog production in the state of Illinois. And we got to give them all the encouragement we can. At this point, we need some encouragement other than what we're getting from the market. So, Jennifer, thank you very
Absolutely.
Much. We appreciate it. Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Get more at www.porkbusiness.com. We got the free-for-all coming up next. Haney, Davis, and maybe Grady hopping in on the conversation.
There I was, driving along, when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma. And always read and follow label directions.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Join us in Houston for the 2024 Commodity Classic, New Frontiers in Agriculture, where you'll find a trade show defined by progress and innovation, and education that'll open your mind to endless possibilities. Plus, we'll close out the show on Saturday at the Houston Rodeo, the world's largest rodeo and livestock exhibition. Join us February 28th through March 2nd. Houston, we have no problem. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It is time for the free-for-all. Let's go ahead and get it started. Davis, you ready to go?
I think I'm ready, yeah. Are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready. Are you ready to make a prediction? Not for this weekend's, but for next weekend's football game yet?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Chiefs by 47. Chiefs by 47.
Chiefs, that's an optimistic view of things down there.
Mostly on field goals. Mostly on field goals, actually.
Wow.
Big day.
Big day for the kickers. Sean
Number
Haney.
Seven.
Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. How you doing, Sean?
Chip, I'm doing great, man. It's great to be back here. It feels like I took a couple weeks off, but it's which I did. But it's great to be back here, fresh off of Cattle Con in Orlando, Florida. Did not see Mickey Mouse, but I saw a lot of people in some cowboy hats and boots for sure.
Outstanding. We'll get a report there. And Brian Grady, editor at Pro Farmer, is with us. How you doing, Beej?
Hey, Chip. Pretty good. No real complaints.
Fantastic. What do you think about Davis's prediction there for the game? The Chiefs by 47, mostly on field goals.
No. No. It won't be 47. It won't be mostly field goals. Well, it might be mostly field goals. I don't know. But they won't get to a 47-point victory by field goals.
You see, Grady understands this radio thing. He's only saying that to keep the conversation interesting, and I appreciate that level of savvy.
No, I'm a realist, Davis. I'm more real than any other human being ever. So.
Well, who do you got, Grady? Do you got the Chiefs or?
No, I cannot root for the Chiefs. So I just, it's getting stale for me. So I'll go with the Niners. Not because I'm a Niners fan by any means, but they got a couple pretty cool dudes that played college football in the state of Iowa on that team.
That's right.
So
it's, I gotta say,
George Kittle's one of the all-time greatest personalities in the NFL. And Brock Purdy's doing pretty darn well for himself. So
how can somebody cheer against Brock Purdy? What is, like, honestly, what a story.
Yeah. Well, they're fun haters.
Well, they are. And it's so funny how, like, dude has played honestly amazing above anything that anybody thought when you're the last pick in the NFL draft just 2 short years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, give him some credit. Like, and 49er fans themselves wanted to, like, cut him at halftime in the championship game. Yeah. He really wasn't very good. And he is lights out in the second half, and a lot of it with his feet.
Yeah.
But, like, he has played amazing. I am really hoping for the 49ers in that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and there are a lot of people just pushing against the whole dynasty thing. And I was the same way. Tom Brady and the Patriots, like, enough already. Enough.
But yeah, until
one of the sportscasters here in town asked somebody about that specific question. Well, you got a kind of a dynasty going here, and they're like, yeah, we hate it when it's somebody else.
Yeah.
We love it when it's the Chiefs.
That's
so, there you go.
The whole Taylor Swift deal has just got me soured. I mean, I'm a football purist and
do you hate love, Brian?
Love,
is that
love,
what it is?
love the game. And the constant shots of her and the stupid press in the luxury suite just
I can't take it. Brother with the shirt off thing, did you see that with the Sasquatch up
loved
there
it.
Oh, well, he's real.
Jason's real. As real as it comes.
I mean, the NFL can't, I mean, I know what they're doing. They're playing, they want all the Swifties to watch
the
football
estimate?
But
yeah,
did you see the estimate of what the Swift hook up with the NFL, how much money it's generated?
Oh, yeah.
That's
the reason
million.
She's on TV more than the football.
$330 million. Dollars.
Yeah.
If it generates $330 million for me, I'd put her on TV, too.
I saw a great idea where you take Jason Kelce, it's a reality TV show, and every week he goes to an NFL tailgate.
Yeah.
And it's like tailgating through the eyes of Jason Kelce. Now, that is something I'd watch.
Shots out of a bowling, holes in a bowling ball. That's like, that's real. I mean, that's Americana right there.
Love it. Love it. All right. Let's get down to business. Hey, Haney, down there in Orlando at the NCBA convention, what are you hearing? What's been the chatter?
Well, the strangest thing I saw is that while CattleCon was going on in the same convention center, there actually was Comic-Con going on. So there was a lot of people walking around in some outfits that I was like, you are not here for the cattle convention. you know, Chip, I would say that, and no surprise to anybody, but a lot of the discussion is how much good moisture in the western half of the United States would allow ranchers to retain more females and really keep some heifers back. and start to really put an effort into increasing that supply, because that is the main concern. The consumer is really, for the most part, come through. Demand has been strong domestically in the export market, but we've got a supply crunch, and we need rain to make the grass to pull it all through. Overall, I felt a lot of optimism. You know, even though there's negative margins right now in the feed yard, I felt overall a lot of optimism and the opportunity. But Mother Nature's really got to come through and support us in that way.
Yeah, Brian, that cattle inventory report, it certainly suggested that any expansion in the beef herd has been pushed out to 2026 at the earliest.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely no signs. And, you know, the cattle on feed numbers have been telling us that all the way through. Every quarter we get an update on the feedlot mix, and the heifer numbers have just been really big. And so no real surprise there in that report that it would indicate that the expansion plans haven't started yet. But I think probably, you know, what Sean heard is pretty you know, up to date in terms of, you know, if they can get the grass, they need that before they can start actively retaining heifers.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. If you guys want to have a conversation or hear a conversation about that cattle inventory report and what it's going to take to start to rebuild it, had a conversation with Lee Scholes from Iowa State University yesterday afternoon on AgriTalk. Go back and listen to that one. A lot of the chatter leading up to CattleCon this year, guys, out on social media was about the electronic IDs. And the scuttle was that NCBA was going to support mandatory electric IDs, or the RFIDs, the radio frequency ID tags, on all cattle. So sale barn guys were wondering now if a load of cattle, a load of fat cattle come in that don't have an EID, would they have to run those fat cattle through a chute, spend $8 on a tag just to run them through the sale barn to make it all legal? And the sale barn guys were saying, listen, we're not going to do that. We can't afford that kind of cost. And if you're, you know, even if you're running just 1,000 head through a sale barn a week, hey, you know, they're anywhere from $4 to $8 is the number that I've seen on this. No sale barn operator wants to spend $4,000 to $8,000 to run 1,000 head of fat cattle through their sale barn. Somebody is going to have to pay for that. And it's going to, you know, the buyer ultimately, I would think, is going to have to pay for it. But in the meantime, it's going to be a sale barn and the guy that's bringing in the calves. Now, the statement that has been released is the NCBA supports the adoption and implementation in the beef industry of electronic ID devices for interstate movement of all breeding-aged animals greater than 18 months and rodeo and exhibition cattle. So it's kind of kicking the can down the road on this one is what it feels like. But there's no mention of market cattle in this. I think that's going to be a relief to the industry, Beege.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, we'll see. I don't know where the final ending point is on this situation, but they're probably real concern. And, you know, cost. Comes back to cost and how much it's going to cost or how much money you're going to make, or no matter what the situation. You know, that's the real sticking point at this point.
And you know, Haney, this is all traceability issue is what it is.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, this is one where I've sort of like, I understand the pushback. There's a lot of like, you know, who's going to pay for it? There's also the idea that, you know, my ranch, my information, I don't want to, you know, share
data privacy and those.
I will say this, though. Canada has had a version of this since 1998. Mm-hmm. Every single animal is tagged before it leaves the ranch in a national traceability program. And it's not perfect, but other countries do have this. So this is, you know, this is something that the U.S. is going to have to look maybe around the world a little bit and see from a competitive standpoint in the global stage. We'll have to see.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. When we come back, we've got one more item to cover from CattleCon. Haney needs to do a shout-out. We've got a new entry into the Cattle Feeders Hall of Fame. We'll learn about that, and then we're going to get on to the employment data and what it means for interest rates.
Lameness is a costly issue on dairies across the U.S. Both direct costs like hoof trimming and indirect costs like drop in milk yield can result in a huge loss in gross profit. While there are many ways of preventing and treating lameness, starting cows off right structurally through proper trace mineral supplementation is a great place to start. Visit NovusINT.com and click on resources to learn how Novus Trace Minerals can help prevent lameness. That's NovusINT.com/resources.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit OsseoPlastics.com for more information.
Milk markets are lower. Reporting from the Corn Soybean Expo, I'm Brian Winnikins on WRDN. March milk down 16 to 1736. April down 12 to 1764. May down 29 to 1776. And June down 8 to 1819. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle and feeder cattle markets moving mostly higher. Some strength in the cash markets. And the continued buying interest after the cattle inventory report supporting prices. Hog markets moving mostly higher. Some positive export inspections helping to support the hogs. February live cattle up 30 cents to 180.05. March up 20 cents to 245.07. And February hogs now down 35 cents to 75.45. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving up mostly lower. Corn lower due to weakness in soybeans and also some strength in the dollar. Soybeans moving mostly lower due to short-term demand expectations remaining tepid and soybean oil falling to new lows. Wheat markets, they are also moving up mostly lower due to that tepid export inspections. March corn down 4.5 to 442 and three quarters. New crop down 3.25 to 475 and three quarters. March beans down 11 and three quarters to 1191 and a half. New crop down 10 and a half to 1175. Chicago wheat, March down 3 to 598 and a half. From Corn Soybean Expo, I'm Brian Winnikins. Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I don't know what you're thinking.
So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It's a free-for-all. We've got Davis Michelson Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio, Sean Haney and Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on the free-for-all today. Unemployment report was out this morning. 353,000 jobs added in January. The trade expectation was like 175,000 in new payrolls. So we basically doubled up on the new payrolls in January. And the revisions to November and December reports added a net 126,000 jobs. The unemployment rate is steady at 3.7%. Brian Grady, when I look at this and try to balance it against, you know, some of the hopes that we're going to see the Fed drop interest rates, it's not coming in March now, is it?
No, March is out the door, and maybe almost out the door at this point in time. And so, you know, everything's being pushed back and delayed. And I think that's the real message that they came from the jobs data. Like you said, the payrolls were almost double what was anticipated. Yeah. And we had big revisions to past data. And so, you know, everything's screaming right now that the jobs market is strong. Hourly earnings up significantly. I think it was 4.5% over the past year. And so nothing's telling the Fed to cut interest rates.
Right. That average hourly work week, it had been bouncing around between 34.3 and 34.4 hours per week. It dropped down to 34.1. To me, that is a signal that more people are being hired for a part-time position than for a full-time position. And I don't know if that's going to feed, you know, a lot of fuel or into the economy going forward or not. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I think that probably the least number that's followed is that work week number.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, of all the set of data that comes out of that, I don't pretend to be an economist. I have a lot that I follow rely on for those types of situations. But I think that's probably, you know, wages are a big thing. Yeah. Along with the total number of jobs added. So I don't know. We'll see. Honestly, this may not have it's an election year. So the jobs number may not have as much of an impact or the Fed may not. Let's put it a different way. The Fed may not have as much of a impact on monetary policy this year as what everybody was anticipating because of the elections and the jobs numbers may end up being a factor in the elections. We'll see if that happens or not.
Gotcha.
In late December, we were talking about, some of the commentary out there was like, we'll have four cuts. We'll have five cuts.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I'm asking the question, what's the probability there are no cuts in 2024? And listen, we're very, very early, so I don't want to get too far out ahead of myself, but just because you can doesn't mean you should. And right. We can see from this data here today that the reality is that, you know, a cut may be nothing but just pushing us back right now to where we were, and then we're talking about going back up. And I think the last thing the Fed wants to do is be jumping all over the place.
Right,
where we're being very, very reactive and we're up and we're down and we're all over the place. I think we're going to continue to see a real measured, patient approach here, and we're not going to see cuts until they feel they really, really absolutely have to. And other central banks around the world are I think, taking a lot of indication from what the U.S. Federal Reserve does on this, and we're seeing the same patience in places like the U.K. and in Canada.
Yeah, and the International Monetary Fund warned the Fed and other central banks that, you know, easing too soon is probably more damaging or would be more damaging than waiting a little bit longer. And
right.
So I think if they listen to the IMF, and there's no reason that they have to by any means, but IMF put that out there this week that, you know, hey, don't get too jumpy with cutting rates.
Right. Brian, you do a great job of tracking the economic activity and the tough conditions in China. What's the bottom line there right now? Are they going to be helping or hurting the global economy in the year ahead?
Well, they're in rough shape, Chip, and they've resisted rate cuts at this point in time. They, you know, they want to go with fiscal stimulus as much as possible, and that's just not doing it for the Chinese economy, and quite honestly, the Chinese investor, whether it's a domestic investor, their stock market's really taken on weight at this point in time, or the foreign investor. There's just not a lot of foreign dollars being put into the Chinese economy at the moment. And so China's got some real struggles on their hands. And the U.S. economy is performing very well compared to China's on a relative basis.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Let's jump topics here, because Haney, you kind of started the week for me on this Farm Bill watch with an interview that you did with Dr. Joe Outlaw out of Texas A&M University, and he certainly is not optimistic that the Farm Bill is going to be taken up anytime soon, is he?
He is not. And like his last name says, Outlaw, he's a straight shooter, which I love talking to Dr. Joe Outlaw. Yeah, he's got a 2025 stamp on this farm bill. He feels that, you know, threats of the government shutdown and the issues around continuing resolutions, it just pushes all of this back out. The southern border is taking up all the oxygen in the room. I will say this, and this kind of supports some of the yeah but that Dr. Outlaw mentioned. This week, when I was, in the media room at CattleCon and hearing a lot of people coming in talking about the Farm Bill, here's one of the common threads that is a positive to get actually a Farm Bill done this year, and that is Stabenow's departure.
Yeah.
That she is not going to want to go out in the fall without closing this deal. So she is very, very motivated. Now, is that reality, or is that just like hope on people's part? I'm not sure, but that seems to be one of the arguments for a bill in 24.
Yeah, that seems to be the argument as things stand right now. And the proposal that she has thrown out there, making it a choice between improved, which means a higher subsidy on crop insurance, or you got to pick, or the safety net provisions of the ARC or the PLC program through the Farm Bill. So you can have either the crop insurance improved crop insurance or the safety net. When we asked Senator Ernst about that on Wednesday, she couldn't answer that question fast enough. She was no, that is not going to fly. So if Stabenow is going to bring proposals like that to the table and expect that to speed the process so that it gets done in 2024, that's not going to work. Not with the Republicans in the on the Senate Ag Committee. I don't know. And Senator Marshall from Kansas basically said the same thing yesterday, that the Farm Bill is going to be pushed out until after 2025. And it's a tough... Brian, from talking with the Pro Farmer membership, I would imagine that if the message is leave the Farm Bill alone, it's going to have its, automatic increases in the effective reference prices. Other than that, leave the Farm Bill alone and let's just keep going forward until we get through the election. It's probably not bad news to them unless they're a dairy producer, right?
Correct. Yeah, I think that they just don't want it to be messed up.
Yeah.
If everything's in a perfect situation, they want a better Farm Bill. But they would rather have what they have right now than have them mess it up. Sean said it, but Stabenow is the only chance that it gets done this year.
So.
Absolutely the only chance. I can't see any other end route that gets us there unless it's her.
Right.
Would you say that the one added factor there would be, from the grassroots perspective, we see a real negative shift in margins? The dairy producer right now, things suck. Pork producer, it sucks. But, you know, when we look at corn and beans, for example, much relatively better. If we were to see things really change from a farm profitability standpoint in the Corn Belt between now and the summer, would that be an increase in the political will? Like, hey, we got to get this done. Would that help, or is that crazy?
I think that's something that they would try to fix with the emergency relief program, Haney.
Okay.
With another ad hoc payment rather than rushing through a farm bill.
Yeah, and once again, it's an election year. So the only way that, I mean, you know, I hate to keep saying that, but not a lot gets done in Washington in an election year. Yeah. Not a lot gets done anymore anyway. But.
Brian, you're referring to the most unproductive Congress in 2023. And who says it doesn't continue to 2024?
They don't do anything but fly in and fly out and argue with each other.
That's right. Okay, we're going to keep the conversation going. When we come back, we had a conversation yesterday with Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller about ESG in banking regulations. I want to have a conversation about that. We'll do it right here on AgriTalk.
At Boot Barn Work, we support those who rise in the early mornings and keep pushing through the long night shifts, because there are mouths to feed, homes to build, and a country to fuel. Those who mark their progress by the wear on their tools and the sweat dripping down their face. Every scuff on your boots represents your role in America's unrelenting workforce. Boot Barn Work, for those who feed, build, and fuel the nation.
Navage provides quick, drug-free nasal relief this time of year when everyone is sick. Navage helps by sucking out germs, bacteria, and viruses trapped in our noses that cause us to feel miserable. And come allergy season, it does the same with dust, pollen, and other allergens. And unlike medications that can take time to help, Navage helps treat congestion symptoms in seconds flat. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth. And if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Get a strong start to your sorghum season with Double Team Sorghum. The Double Team Sorghum cropping solution provides superior post-emergent grass control, giving you clean sorghum fields, reliable yields, and improved profitability. Double Team is powered by the proprietary DT trait and uniquely formulated First Act herbicide for a completely integrated and flexible solution for grass control in sorghum. Visit DoubleTeamSorghum.com to learn how to get cleaner fields and bigger yields.
Chip Flory here with the latest Appetite for Pork report. Today I'm talking with Dr. David Newman with the National Pork Board. Pork Checkoff is always working to drive demand for U.S. pork for consumers here at home, David. How are you encouraging them to buy more?
This is really a fish where the fish are approach of saying, who is the consumer of the future? Where do they shop? What do they buy? Examples are millennials and Gen Zs and the largest growth population, such as multicultural Hispanics. So we're reaching the consumers in the right places. That's on social media and grocery shopping ends.
Perfect. What's next as you're trying to reach new consumers for U.S. pork?
Well, we're focused on today, but we're also focused on tomorrow. So this is a long-term approach to position U.S. pork.
Thanks again, David, for talking with us today about how the Pork Checkoff is building a bigger appetite for U.S. pork. You can find more information at porkcheckoff.org/radio.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We've got the free-for-all going. Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady, Real Agriculture Sean Haney, and then Davis Michelson and me, Chip Flory from AgriTalk, in the free-for-all this week. On Monday, guys, there were 12 state commissioners and secretaries of agriculture. They sent a letter to the six biggest banks, and I mean the biggest banks in America. And they've got a very specific list of questions that they want answered, I think, by the middle of the month, on how ESG, environmental social governance, is directing their business decisions and how it might impact agriculture. We had Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller on the show yesterday to just kind of, you know, clue us in on what exactly is happening with this. But it comes down to, Haney, it's basically a warning shot from a dozen ag commissioners and secretaries saying, don't let these ESG directives influence how you're going to be lending money into the ag industry, or you could end up with what is happening in Europe, or even worse, as Sid Miller mentioned, could end up with something as terrible as what happened in Sri Lanka. It's a complex issue, isn't it?
Well, it is, Chip. But one of the things that Mr. Miller said was, you know, out here in the real world, yeah. And I felt like that could kind of be reversed. Like, yeah, out here in the real world, other industries have been doing this for quite some time. Like, you know, when I talk to people in the oil and gas sector, there's been sustainable lending for a while. There are already financial institutions in agriculture that are out there doing sustainable lending. When I'm out in the countryside, I hear a lot of pushback from farmers on this. Not a lot seeing potentially the opportunity to get, say, lower rates. Yeah. And the reality is that when you're asking somebody for money and you need an operating loan or you need a capital loan, you don't drive the bus.
Right.
And
you got to answer some questions.
You got to answer some questions. And so when you go to ask for a loan, there's qualifications like, you know, quality of management of the operation. Do you have a strategic plan? Past financial performance? What does the balance sheet look like? What are some of the practices that you use as well? And some of these practices now are into this area of sustainability. I think this is actually more of a reality than we're making it out to be. I don't think it has much to do at all with protests. You know, the protests in here, we can talk about that. much more complicated than Miller made them out to be. But I think this is coming. It's here. And if I was in agriculture looking for a loan, I'd be looking at how do I take advantage of this as opposed to fighting it, because it's here.
Davis, what you got a chance to hear that conversation with Miller. And we've talked about these ESG issues quite often on the show. What do you make of this?
Well, at some point, and I agree with what Sean is saying. Other industries have done this in agriculture. You know, maybe it's just our turn to step up. But if you look at what's going on in Europe, where the farmers feel like things have just gone too far here, they no longer have a voice, they can't make money in this system. The pushback from the European farmer is real, and, you know, it's in the back of the American farmer's head, too. I guarantee you've seen it on the news.
Yep.
Yeah. So the European protests, like, it's not so. In some of the countries, it is about environmental regulations. Like the Netherlands, for example, mm-hmm. it is about trying to restrict fertilizer use. Okay, so that fits into that narrative. But if you look at, like, in Poland, the majority of it is about the government showing favoritism for Ukrainian products.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that's totally outside this scope.
Sure.
In Germany, it started because the government's saying, you know, we're going to cut agricultural subsidies. Like, I think I mentioned this before on the show. The last couple of years, if you bought a sprayer in Germany, you got half of it paid for by the government. Those are the kind of subsidies the government is trying to cut. Right. Those are subsidies that we have to compete with in the global stage from an export perspective. We should be actually cheering for those governments to cut those subsidies. Yep. In some of the countries, like France, a part of it has to do with pushback against free trade deals that the government has been a part of with the European Union.
Yep.
Well, we're pro-free trade here. So, like, those protests are much more complicated than just pushing back against environmental policy, in my opinion.
Right. Okay. It's been an interesting week on the show because we have talked with Sid Miller, and earlier this week had a conversation with Lee Blank, who's the CEO of Summit Carbon Solutions. And this, you know, having a conversation that is very much in support of the CO2 sequestration and a conversation with Sid Miller that is warning about all of it. It did prompt a response out on Twitter from Lauren. He says, Chip, one thing to be careful about is getting too excited about sustainable aviation fuel and carbon scoring, as it's all related to ESG, WEF, One World Banking, and control. Will a new administration reject all those government subsidies? Nitrogen limitations go with carbon scoring. If that happens, farmers will reject it. Lauren, we are very much aware of that. And you want to talk about one of the most complex issues that we've ever had to try to have, civil conversations about on a regular basis on the show. This is it. This is it. Because on the surface, I look at the ESG stuff and I'm thinking to myself, come on. You get your head straight here on this. We're talking about CO2. It's the life element. It's the element of life. Are we really going to be making all these changes because of CO2? On the other hand, as Haney said, look at the money that's being invested in some of these environmental efforts that are out there and some of the money that's available to it. And the amount of private investment that has already been made into some of these efforts like renewable diesel and sustainable aviation fuel and so on. We're going to keep covering it. It's confusing, it's heady, and it's conflicting at times, but we're going to keep covering it. Great job today, you guys. I appreciate y'all. Davis, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, Brian Grady, editor at Pro Farmer. Come back this afternoon. We got Jim Bauer, Bauer Trading, here on AgriTalk.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at trifoldinaction.com.
Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Now you can by using hair volume from New Nordic. Look for hair volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Hi, I'm Jade, and the little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit is the savoriness of the sausage, the fluffiness of the egg, and the butteriness of the biscuit. It's amazing. The perfect start to my day.